I first found out about KPFK at a Ciclavia event. I had no idea what it was, and I ended up talking to the gentleman at the booth, and, you know, kind of inspired me. And over time, I turned to the radio and I started listening to KPFK more and more, and found out that this was an organization that I was interested in and shared the same values as I had. So it was kind of an organic thing where I encountered you guys in the wild, and then over time I became a fan of the station.
Hi, this is Elliot Gould, and you're listening to KPFK, 90.7 FM in Los Angeles and 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara.
Listeners, welcome to another segment of Think Outside the Cage. I'm your host, Mark Cofield. It's good to be back with the listeners this Sunday morning. We're still in Fun Drive, and I just want to give kudos to all those who made pledges, donations, and became sustainers. It doesn't matter which show you pledged, donated, or became a sustainer to. It's the fact that you give. But we still in Fun Drive, which means we need more. And we had a person that really was a big giver to this particular show last week, which she gave $500. And, you know, of course, we're looking for a match. We're looking to at least match that $500. So let's dig in pockets and give what we can. Just give what you can. I know we in hard times, thanks to you know who. It's rough right now. But you know what my slogan is? Imagine FM radio without KPFK. Just think of what a big void that would be there. Not hearing from the people, the different variety of people that's on this show, whether it be music or commentaries or just straight like me, just giving it to you raw. Because I tell you, I give it to you raw. And a lot of people may not agree with me, but at least I'm telling you the truth. What I challenge is for someone to come on here and tell me that what I'm saying is not true. You may have a difference of opinion, but I tell the truth. Kind of like what what was his name? Scarface said, I tell the truth even when I lie. I tell the truth. So we have a couple of gifts we will give away for those making pledges, donations, becoming a sustainer. We have the KPFK logo mug. It has the KPFK logo on it, red and white graphics. It's $65. We have the KPFK logo T-shirt. It comes in extra large, large, double extra large. It has the KPFK logo on it, which is $65. Then we have the KPFK tote bag, has the logo on it. I believe I got one of them tote bags 2 years ago, and I still have it. Still putting groceries in it. Because in L.A. County, they don't give you plastic bags no more. You only get them paper bags. And, I mean, every time I put something in there, the bag ripped. So I had to, you know, go with this KPFK tote bag, and it's working. And I be putting a lot of stuff in it. Okay, that's $50. Okay, we have a book, I believe this is. Yes, Maurice Mom Pure Secure, This Thug's Life, and Unapologetically Black Storybook. It's a $100 donation. The first ever insider account of the Secure family, the iconic hip-hop group Thug Life, and the life and death of Tupac Shakur, written by Mopreme Shakur, the legendary rapper's by his big brother and eldest son of Black Liberation activist Mutulu Shakur. Okay, so that's $100. And then we have another book by David K. Johnston, The Big Cheat, How Donald Trump Fleeced America and Enriched Himself and His Family. The Big Cheat offers a guided tour of how money flowed in and out of Donald Trump's hundreds of enterprises during his term in office, showing in simple terms how a corrupt president used our government for his benefit, even putting national security at risk. Johnson details the foremost recent years of the corruption that has defined the Trump family since 1885, and reveals the cause of Trump's extravagant lifestyle for American taxpayers. Okay, so that's the Big Cheat. That's $150. So remember, and whether you get any of the items that were mentioned, the gifts that were mentioned, you know, whatever you can give is appreciated. And I'm sure I speak for all the radio hosts on here. Whatever you can give is appreciated. You know, it a lot of you say, you know, Mark, you know, you need to be on the air more, and you know, we want to hear more of you. Well, this is how you do it. You show that you appreciate this show and you appreciate the content on it. Okay. Unfortunately, the phones are down. I'm not going to be able to do calls. And, you know, I really regret that because the calls is what makes this show. But you know, it's out of me and the technical engineer's control. So we're just going to have to wing this. So what I'm going to do, I'm a comment on something. A few days ago, I was surfing the TV and I stopped on Fox News. They had this chairperson of the Democratic Socialist Movement on Fox, and she sounded like a complete fool. And I'm gonna tell you why. Don't just like, Mark, why are you coming down on the Democrat? No. Let me tell you why. She sounded like someone who's out of touch and who reminds me of Al Qaeda or the Taliban. If we don't get it our way, we'll just blow everything up. I say this to say, she gets on Fox News and speaks about the Democratic Socialist Movement agenda, which some of it I agree with. Fair housing, raising the minimum wage, food assistance, housing assistance, health insurance for all. There were some good things she said, but she had to go blow it, following up with some of the dumbest crap I heard. I mean, just abolish police, abolish the Senate, abolish prisons, abolish borders. Something she said is never going to happen, at least not in this lifetime. Now, the reason why I equated this woman to Al Qaeda, because she's willing to blow up the fight for Social Security, fair housing, food assistance, health care for all, raising the minimum wage, by conflating all that other crap in the pot. Some things are doable and some are not. I get like really, it kind of bores me that you're willing to say all the good things that we have a chance to get. Because there's a saying that you don't know what you missed until you've lost it. All these things that this Trump administration done jerked back on, you know, people are starting to feel it and they're starting to miss it. You know, and, nah, man, you got to bring that stuff back. But if the Democrats don't win the House, they need to win the House and the Senate. They're not going to be able to achieve. We're not going to achieve this. And it's going to get even worse because that big, beautiful bill kicks in. I think the 1st of January, and people really gonna feel it. So this democratic socialist movement is willing to blow everything up by conflating that foolishness in with the things that really matter. Growing and this movement is growing. They're actually trying to become like MAGA did with the Republican Party. And MAGA is foolish. Man, where are they getting some of these issues from? You know, willing to take these issues that we need over the cliff for this, I'm telling you, and I don't care what nobody say. That's foolishness. Check this out. Now, I've been to prison for a crime that I didn't commit. So I can speak on prison. And one thing I don't like is people who haven't been to prison trying to speak on it, trying to say what we need and what we don't need when it comes down to this prison stuff. Now, I went in there for a crime that I didn't commit. So naturally, people who go to prison for crimes they didn't commit should never be there in the first place. So yeah, we should make some reforms to make sure people that who haven't committed crimes don't go to prison. I think we need to reform how the jury is polled, how the jury is picked. Yeah, we can do some reforming. But trust me, there are some people who are in prison. They butts deserve to be there. And they need to stay there until they get their act together. Now, some have went into prison. That's one good thing I'll say about California. California has a bachelor's and master's program in prison now. Some of these people have went to prison, didn't even know how to read, and coming out with a master's degree. How is that bad? Why would you want to abolish that? It took them going to prison to come out and get themselves together. Yeah, they had to spend time in there, and they had to do a lot of self-help and work on themselves, but they were able to bring about a good change in their lives. Why would you want to get rid of that? And yes, I agree. There needs to be prison reform. People are doing way too much time. Yeah, we could talk about reforms, but abolishing prisons? Abolishing the border? You lose me. And if you lose me on that, I can imagine all the other people who are more conservative that are kind of leaning to want to roll with the Democratic Party because the Republicans are just so off the chain now, agreeing with everything this idiot is doing. But so now, you know, a person has to say, you know what? This is what I say. I'm going to vote for the person who I believe is going to do the right thing. I mean, you could be talking about that, that abolish this and abolish that. You just running your mouth. You know that ain't going to happen. I don't even know why they talking that. That is not going to happen. Now, you got somebody that been to prison and telling you people need to be in there. They haven't got their act together yet. So with that being said, I just want to, you know, to speak on that. Because that sounds so just dumb to me. And it's not doable. So let's focus on things that are doable. So I'm going to have my technical engineer, Irene, play a clip, and then I'll commentate on the clip afterwards.
I think back on the African-American people in America. I think how that they were taken against their wills, put in the belly of ships, brought over here, beat, cussed. Many of them died in the guts of those ships, thrown overboard. They were pulled from families over there. If you're one of those people that you got a problem with black people or whatever, you better shut your mouth, because they're God's people. You better hear what I'm saying to you. You better shut your white mouth. You better shut your white mouth. I'm not kidding you. I know some of you was raised in the deep south and you was raised by prejudiced people and bigoted people. You better get that out of your system. You better get it out of your system. It'll cause you to suffer right along with those masters. It'll cause you to suffer right along with them. These are God's people. And I know that there's wicked in white races and wicked in black races and all that. I'm not justifying none of that stuff. I'm just saying God knows what happened to the black race. He knows how they wound up over here. And God is going to reimburse the black people for all their trouble and all their labor. You watch what I tell you.
That we believe is because of that, racism is sin. It's not optional. Don't call yourself a Christian if you think you're better than somebody else. That's what I just read. Don't call yourself a Christian. Because racism is not a skin issue, it's a sin issue. Racism is actually a form of idolatry. It says, I know better than God, and I can choose who's good and who's not. No, you're not. You can't do that because you're not God, and I'm not God. And so we in this church reject all bigotry, all white supremacy. We reject all prejudice. We reject all racism. And so let me just try to be as clear as I can if you're new to Saddleback. If you think prejudice, racism, and bigotry is okay, you're not going to like this church. You're not going to like it for three reasons. First, you're going to have a problem with me as the pastor, because you're not going to like what I say, because I'm going to teach what God says, not what you like to hear. And so you're going to have a problem with me. When I heard the news of the deaths and the violence in Charlottesville and being out of the country for 8 days and watching the news about my nation and the violence perpetrated by bigotry and prejudice and racism and white supremacy and all those things, I was overwhelmed with emotion, all kinds of emotion. Anger, yes. Defensiveness for my friends of many different nationalities and backgrounds, yes. Sadness for a nation, yes. Shock that bigotry would be that blatant and that above ground, yes. And most of all, the excuses made for it. You know, anytime our nation has a crisis, I feel it is my duty as your pastor, as your spiritual coach, to kind of go back and review a couple things, because we have new people joining us all the time. I like to review every time there's a crisis, what do we really believe? And what are we going to do about it? In this instance, we're talking about the issue of racism. Now, Pastor Tom and I have preached countless messages on racism. If you've been around here on the sin of racism, if you've been here any length of time, you've heard it. I preached on it as recently, less than a year ago. I did a message called Amazing Grace for Every Race. And if you actually missed that message, I'll send it to you. I'll send it to you for free. Just write on a card Rick's message on race. Our MP3, and I'll be happy to send it to you to teach you what we see in God's Word is what the Bible says. Friends, the truth of the matter is there's only one race. It's called the human race.
All right. So I played that clip because I be trying to figure out people who be professing to be Christians and they hate, you know, like people who had slaves, the masters or whatever you want to call them. Did they think for one minute that heaven was just going to be with you know, one particular ethnicity or something like that? Now, remember, being a Christian, we're supposed to be seeking the afterlife, eternal life. And if we were all created by one God, why would it just have one group of people in there? Just add it up. Just do the math. And this pastor, he talked about the things that have been done to black people throughout the history of this country. And he talked about how God has a good memory. God remembers things. Remember, a day, 1,000 years is like a day to God. And you playing with your eternal life, man. You're literally playing. Now, this is for those who profess to be Christians, because some people don't have the same beliefs. I'm speaking to those who professing to be Christians. You are literally playing with your eternal life behind one man because you refuse to reject his foolishness. I talked about Lindsey Graham last week. I don't know where Lindsey Graham landed, but I know on up until the day he died, he was riding with Trump. Bomb Palestine. Bomb the Gaza Strip. Bomb Iran. Everything he talked about was bomb. You think he getting eternal life because of that? Killing women and children, innocent people? He may not directly be dropping the bombs, but he's indirectly doing it because he's getting in that crazy man's ear telling him to tell the troops to do that stuff. They might not have directly caused them 18 soldiers to lose their life, but they indirectly did it by sending them over there to an unjust war in the first place. Now I'm practical, man. I'm a common sense type of person. And the more time is passing, progressing, I'm starting to see some real evil, dark stuff coming out of people who are professing to be godly, man. And I don't know. There's a bunch of different Bibles, and they might use the word thee or thou or the. But one thing it doesn't change on is God's love and what we're supposed to be doing. Here it is. You got a man like Elon Musk. You know, they saying this guy's supposed to be $1 trillion now. But he the same guy that went through and cut all these people's jobs. You have people that don't have jobs now because of this dude. What is the purpose of money if you're not using it to do good? Of course, yeah, we're going to use money. We want the nice car. We want the nice home. We want the nice. We want everything nice if we have money. I get it. If I had a lot of money, of course I want some nice things. But I'd be doing good for people. Ain't no way if I had that kind of money, people would be homeless. At least not in the state where I come from. $1 trillion Everybody in California could be clinked. The streets could be clinked up. Everybody could have housing. But no, what he want to do is take some of that $1 trillion and put it into Trump's campaign. $200 and something million of it. Yeah, this is what y'all asked for. Elections have consequences. I was saying back in 2024, November 2024, don't let that man get in office. I was saying don't let him. Everything he's doing, I predicted it. I called it. So I'm going to have my techno engineer, Irene, play another clip. It's talking about letting that crazy man get back in office. All right, I'm ready.
How did we get here? How did we get here?
Kamala Harris warned that another Trump presidency would bring instability, higher costs, attacks on democratic institutions, and reckless leadership. MAGA dismissed those warnings as exaggerated campaign rhetoric. Now, as Americans deal with greater uncertainty, many of those warnings are sounding less like fear-mongering and more like a forecast.
He said he will target and punish those who disagree with him or refuse to bend to his will. He calls these Americans the enemy within and says that he would use the American military to go after American citizens. Journalists whose stories he doesn't like. Nonpartisan election officials who refuse to cheat by finding a few extra votes for him. Judges who insist on following the law instead of following him. It is for reasons like these that General Mark Milley, the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Donald Trump's top general, has called Trump, and I quote, fascist to the core.
Vice President Harris was going to give us $20,000 if we were buying our first house. But you chose the eating the cats and the dogs guy. They're eating the cats, they're eating the dogs. That's who you thought was a better choice. And now we're at war. And everything's more expensive. And that's who you chose. Thank you.
Hey, do you remember back in 2024 when MAGA said, if you vote for Kamala Harris, gas is going to go up, groceries are going to get higher, and we'll be at war with Iran within 1 to 2 years? Well, if you voted for Kamala Harris, that has happened. But the thing is what I don't understand is Kamala Harris isn't the president. Donald Trump is. Now, she did predict that this was going to happen, but a lot of people didn't believe her. Just like she said that Trump wasn't going to put America first, and he hasn't. He put Israel first, then went to Venezuela. Now we're at war with Iran. He just got back from China. That's four. America's fifth. America's in fifth place.
One of the strongest themes in this clip is the frustration of watching consequences unfold after voters were repeatedly warned about them. Harris and other Trump critics raised concerns about tariffs, inflationary pressure, foreign policy instability, reproductive rights, executive overreach, immigration enforcement, and political retaliation. MAGA supporters laughed, dismissed the concerns, and insisted Trump would bring lower prices, peace, and economic strength. The warnings were not hidden in complicated policy documents that nobody could find. They appeared in debates, interviews, campaign speeches, news coverage, and countless conversations before Election Day. Voters were offered two very different versions of leadership. Harris emphasized stability, working family support, housing affordability, health care protections, and institutional responsibility. Trump emphasized disruption, punishment, loyalty, and confrontation. MAGA chose the spectacle. And now when supporters quietly disappear or pretend they never enthusiastically defended him, people remember. Political embarrassment does not erase political responsibility.
Kamala Harris was a prophet, Everything that she predicted Donald Trump would do, he has done in less than 18 months. He has started new wars. He has driven up inflation, not just at home, but global inflation as well. He has driven up energy prices. He is spiraling us into the biggest recession that anyone has ever seen since the Great Depression. So tell me, if you voted for Donald Trump, why exactly was it that you could not put the best interest of yourself, your friends, and neighbors above your misogyny and patriarchy?
I was at a baseball game yesterday, and I saw all these new young parents walking around with little bitty babies. It was only their first kid. You could tell because they didn't have any other kids tagging along with them. Kamala Harrison was going to give them $6,000. Okay, just so you know, $6,000 for your first child. She was also going to give you $20,000 for your first-time homebuyers. And now you've got a war. Now you've got a pedophile in the White House. You've got an orange man running rampant. Gas prices are soaring. His MAGA base is leaving him. People in Washington are abandoning him. The public is walking away from Trump. All the while, you could have been getting $6,000 for your first child, $20,000 as your first home buyer, universal health care for yourself. And again, now you've chosen a man who was hanging around with Jeffrey Epstein messing with underage girls. That's not a good look. And a man had also said on Air Force One, that would probably be the closest he ever got to heaven, being 40,000 feet in the air. So I think you made a mistake. So I hope you feel bad now.
If Kamala Harris had become president, Trump would be in prison. The Strait of Hormuz would be open. Ukraine would be victorious. Gas prices would be lower than $3 a gallon. The United States would be respected and wouldn't be the laughing stock of the world. You know, it's time to get rid of Donald J. Trump. Let's 8647, 8647, and get rid of that criminal in the White House.
My hot take for today is that if Kamala Harris, Miss Coconut Tree, was the president of the United States right now, the collective awakening that's happening right now would not be happening right now. Trump may not be the president America wanted, but Trump is the president that America needed, because Trump is the perfect personification of how America has always been. Democrat, Republican, black with Obama, white with all the other 46 presidents. Like, and that's just my take. And I said what I said.
Trump is all.
All right. All right. So, as I was mentioning, this was already predicted, and this country allowed him to get in there anyway, and this is the result. So as I said previously, we're in Fun Dry. I have a heavyweight in here helping me out today, which is Terry. He's going to he brought in some more things that's being offered, so he's going to gifts for those who's making pledges, sustainers, and donations. All right. Yes,
thank you, Mark. And yeah, I do want to remind folks that although we are not able to put calls on the air today, we are still able to take calls on the pledge line at 818-985-5735, option 2. And I just thought we would mention some other gifts that are available for your donations at varying levels. We do still have a few copies left of an item that we offered in an earlier fund drive, and that's the book What Kind of Bird Can't Fly, A Memoir of Resilience and Resurrection by Dorsey Nunn, written following Mr. Nunn's 10 years of imprisonment in San Quentin and his resilience and resurrection afterwards as he has fought to lend his efforts to the Black Lives Matter movement and building respect and justice for everyone in the jailbirds and non-jailbirds. And so that is for a $75 contribution at 818-985-5735, option 2. We also have some musical offerings that have been popular in this drive that have been offered on other shows. There's the Soul Brothers and Blues Sisters collection of 50 original soul and blues classics that was featured prominently on yesterday afternoon's Rhapsody in Black program. A two-CD set with performances by the likes of James Brown, Esther Phillips, Sam Cooke, Dinah Washington, Brooke Benton, Nina Simone, and many others, and touching on all aspects of the human condition, blues and high notes as well. And that is for an $80 contribution. That's two CDs. And again, that's been a very popular, that's resonated a lot with our listeners. And then there's a more ambitious offering, the Smithsonian Folkways Anthology of Hip Hop and Rap. That's for a $250 contribution, a multimedia collection including 9 CDs and a 300-page book with essays and interviews about, covering the whole panoply of the hip hop and rap movement. And again, 818-985-5735, option 2. We are looking to, we have a $500 challenge that we're trying to meet, and so we're waiting to hear from folks who can meet that challenge from Nancy that was made last week. And that will help us stay on the air here with Think Outside the Cage. Mark, do you have anything else to add to that?
No, as I always say, just imagine FM radio without KPFK. We really need your help. We need your support. And that shows the station. That shows people like Terry and everybody else that, I deserve a slot. I deserve to be here. I deserve to be on the air. So anything else you want to add before we get back to it?
No, this is an extremely valuable program. I mean, all our programs are valuable, we believe. But this, what other station can you tune into where you hear the experiences that Mark relates and describes, and Mark and Jerry? And we know people do value this show. I hear from people a lot expressing how important they think it is to hear this perspective. So again, 818-985-5735, option 2, or go online to kpfk.org and find the donate button, and it should be pretty straightforward how you can go ahead and make your donation online at kpfk.org.
And it'll be appreciated. And remember, we also still have the logo mug, which is $65. It has the KPFK logo on it. We have the T-shirts. They go all the way from large to double extra large, which is $65. It has a logo on it. And KPFK grocery tote bag. As I said, in Los Angeles, they took away the plastic bags, so we're only using the paper. And every time them bags rip on me, so I actually use this bag. And I didn't have that bag for 2 years, so it's been holding up. And then we have a book by Tupac Shakur's brother, Unapologetically, Black Story. It's the first ever insider account of the Shakur family, the iconic hip-hop group Thug Life, and the life and the death of Tupac Shakur. And it's written by his brother, Moprim Shakur. And that's $100. And then we have The Big Cheat. And we already know who that is, but I'm going to say Donald Trump anyway. Fleeced America and enriched himself. The Big Cheat offers a guided tour of how money flowed in and out of Donald Trump's hundreds of enterprises during his term in office, showing in simple terms how a corrupt president used our government for his benefit, even putting national security at risk. Okay, so it's a little bit more detailed, but that's $150 as well. And remember, even if you can't get none of the items, gifts that were mentioned, give what you can. Everything counts. Everything adds up.
So. Absolutely. Mark, thank you for letting me sit in for this
mention. Man, I appreciate it. I needed that help. I always need help.
All right. And I'm going to go and see if there are any phone calls I need to take.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Terry. I appreciate it. All right. So I want to thank Terry again for coming in, helping me out. Like I say, got the big dogs coming in today. I'm going to have my technical engineer play another clip, and then I'll get back to you.
If you look at Mr. Trump.
Right.
Mr. Trump is a businessman. Certainly, he's done great things in the business world.
Yeah. got a lot of money from his dad that helped.
Oh, yeah. His dad was a nice fella. He ran a little dusty work. And like
he was millions of dollars. When like, you start with that, that's
like,
pretty good.
Like Mr. Joe Kennedy did.
That's right.
You know, white folk are allowed to be criminals and pass on money to their children to become clean. Mm-hmm. That's what Michael Corleone was trying to do. But Frank Lucas and none of our brothers who've done great in the drug culture, they were not allowed to have any money to pass on to their children that they could build on the era of the father that made something better for the children. But Mr. Trump is tearing away the skin of the onion of white civility. And the more he pulls the skin of that onion back, he's beginning to show something in the character of the whites that follow him, that they don't care what he says. He could say one thing this minute, another thing the next minute, and you could see that the man has a little problem, a little problem. But he is exacerbating the race situation in America. And I will guarantee you, if he becomes president, he'll take America exactly where America is heading. He'll take you there on a rocket ship. How can a man say he's not a thug, he's a diplomat, he's a president, we'll go into Iraq and we'll just take the oil? See, that's the thug coming out. That's that part of the nature of the beast that's manifesting. Well, if he becomes your president, you'll be just like him. And you know what the scripture says? Pharaoh was talking before his demise, and he openly said, "Me and my people are wicked." And when you get leadership that is not rooted in justice, then they begin to make the people just like themselves. Be careful, America. You're headed into the abyss of hell. And if you look at Mr.
All right. So this was Louis Farrakhan, and that conversation he had was in 2015, before Trump became president the first time. Boy, did he hit that on the nail. And this is something I'm trying to get those of you who are professing to be godly people. This is what I believe. I believe those who are professing to be godly people and who are, and it's not even blindly no more, because everybody know what this man is doing. So if you following him, you just being wicked just like him. I truly believe that you're going to be judged even harsher than those who really believe them. No, you have some that actually believe this man and think, you know, he's going to turn this around. He's going to change things. You know what? You're an idiot if that's what you believe. You know, if he haven't, there's a saying, when someone shows you who they are, believe them. So if he haven't showed you who he is by now, and you, I mean, if he hasn't shown you who he is, which he has shown you, and you don't believe him, then you're an idiot. Straight up. That man, he's doing so much corrupt stuff. I was going through my computer, the battery went dead. It was just so much. He's doing so much. Either making deals for his children, blackmailing companies,
Amazon, Microsoft, telling them they're going to give money, or he going to take it literally. He's being a gangster. I told y'all, anybody, man, that would allow the American military to be blasting boats out of water without giving them a chance to even address the issue, to say, man, all we have in here is catfish. We don't have no drugs. We don't have, no. Any person that would do that, you know, different from a gangbanger on the street that does a drive-by in a car, that walks up to a car and hand these guys a bunch of guns and they go gun people down on the streets. You're no different from that, because that's exactly what you're doing. You didn't give none of them people you murdered in them seas in that water a chance. But this is what the American people wanted. They wanted a president that was different, that was an outsider, that was a billionaire, that couldn't be bought. These are all the things y'all said. He's been bought, and he turns out he's not outside. He's not an outsider. He have nobody but the insider ends, all the billionaires. They're all in the circle. They done took this government and they pillaging this government like it never been pillaged before. And they are, and what happened to this conservative? You know, when Biden was president, Obama was president. Oh, they spending too much money. This man spending millions on a ballroom, on a reflective pool, that still ain't fixed. On some jet that they got to refurbish because it wasn't secure enough. Should have stuck with the ones we had. All this money being spent. Then he want to take our tax dollars and give them to people that went up in there and saw the police officers. Destroyed the Capitol. That's where our tax dollars should go, huh? And all these ridiculous cases he's bringing against people. James Comey, Letitia Brown, what's his name? I forgot that guy's name. He used to be a CNN anchor. All these cases, and they're getting thrown out. What an embarrassment. You have judge literally telling the Justice Department now, man, we don't trust y'all. Practically anything you come bring in here is suspect now. They used to get the benefit of the doubt. They don't even get that no more with these judges. Even with conservative judges. Even some of Trump's appointments. It's saying, man, get that out of here, man. Fabricating cases, lying on people. And you want to roll with that? Jesus Christ, man. So, what Farrakhan was saying is, the country was going in a direction in 2015. And here it is, 2026, approximately 11 years later, and we're there. ICE officers running rampant,
shooting, murdering people, detaining people. Now they said all those Haitians, and I don't know what state they in. I think it may be Ohio. They want to put them all on ankle monitors. People, good people are working. But you go to South Africa and make a way for 6,000 of them to come over here when they're not being oppressed. They're not being, they just want to come to America. Trump said, oh, go get them. They're white people. I mean, just blatant in our face. Blatant. But to tell someone with a darker complexion, you can't even be over here. Those white South Africans wasn't contributing anything to this country, and we don't know if they are today. All we know is that they had a free ticket. Some of them, cars were brought over here with them and everything. And I'm sure they're on some kind of allowance. I'm sure they're on some kind of welfare. Remember welfare? The government taking care of people? Yeah, don't get crickets now. You know that's wrong. Because someone white, they get to jump in front of the line and just move ahead of everybody. What happened to all this DEI? Wokeness. That sounds so much like DEI and woke to me. But it's okay when Trump says it's okay. Now you got white men filing for discrimination because they said because of the civil rights movement, they were oppressed. They were mistreated because of affirmative action. So now the Justice Department has made a way in the Civil Rights Division for only white people to file. Because they were white. Google it. You can file for a civil rights violation because of affirmative action. Man. And don't tell me you can't see this. A 10-year-old, and this is a true story, a 10-year-old literally said that I think these people are going to try to do something to us. I think they want us to be in change. A 10-year-old can see this. A 10-year-old can see the unfairness that's going on right now. A 10-year-old can see this. And you can't? No, you see it. You just want to ride with it, though. And the only way you're going to jump off the train. No, some of you are dumb enough to still stay on the train after it affects you. A lot of people are being affected with it, and you still think that you being white going to save you. That's what it's not going to do. Most of them clips that I played was white people telling you how they getting screwed over. That pastor, both of those pastors, big white mega churches. Because they don't want to deal with the consequences of judgment. They'd rather call out what this man is doing and say, I fought the good fight. I spoke out against that mess. I spoke out against that foolishness.
I spoke out against that corruption. I spoke out against that unjust. I spoke out against all those things that they was doing. I spoke out against it. And for those who meet their maker and didn't, I told you that would be my paradise, is to watch you people who rode with this man be judged. If I could just be sitting somewhere, I don't need wings, a halo. I don't need none of that. I just need maybe some binoculars or some strong glasses to watch your butts go through it. Because remember, I'm speaking to those who share the same belief that I do, who believe in eternal life, who believe in life after death, and those would be Christians. Whenever I go to a church, if I walk in there and I see the church is all black, I listen to the service, but I don't become a member of that church. If I walk up in the church and I see the church is all white, I'm not going to become a member. I listen to the sermon, but I'm not going to become a member of that church. Say, if I walk into a Hispanic church and I see it's all Hispanic, I'm not going to become a member of that church, because that church does not resemble heaven. And I know some people are, you know, there's language differences and everything. But I literally went up in a Hispanic church, and I could speak a little Spanish, not a lot. But I got the gist of what they were preaching in there, and it was a good sermon. But because it was just, and people were looking at me like, what is he doing in here? Don't know whether I could speak Spanish or not, or whatever. But it's because we've grown accustomed to being in church with people just because they look like us. That's not what heaven is. It's not what heaven is going to be. God created all us in his image. And I'm sure he knew what he was doing. And if you think about it, the best companies that are ran, the best sporting teams are diverse. You could put an all-black team up against a diverse team, whether it be basketball, football, and that diverse team is going to probably win. Serious. All you got to do is just go back and look at these championships. Diversity is what put us over everyone else, because we were diverse, because we did have we did have policies that was equity, that was inclusive, that everybody had a part, everybody had a say in what goes on. No, you got this idiot piece headset purging the military now, and look at the incompetencies that's going on. So listen, those of y'all who've made pledges, I appreciate it. And those of you all who's getting ready to make some pledges, I appreciate it. Remember all the things that were offered. We have a CD set, a few CD sets. One was for $250. The other one was $80. And then we have some books. One was $75. The other was, one was $150. The other was $100. And then we have the T-shirts, the logos, the T-shirts with the logos on them, the mugs, and a tote bag. So if you can't afford them, it's understandable. But just please make a pledge. So my time is up. God willing, I see. Well, I'll be here next week, and the phones and everything will be up running. I want to thank Terry for coming on the air with me, and my technical engineer, Irene. I'm up out of here.
I came from Houston, Texas, moved out to L.A. for work and school. I found out about KPFK by turning on local radio, and it's nice to listen to the sister station out here.
As a KPFK listener, you expect to hear smart conversations about important issues every time you turn on the radio. We bring